Thank you for all the music this morning. We are entering into a very special time of year this week, which we give thanks to God for all the blessings that he's given us. And then next week is the start of Advent already. And in your mailboxes this morning, as usual, just before Advent, you will find two invitations for what we're doing during the Advent and Christmas season. One is in an envelope and one is not. And they are meant to be either sent to somebody that you think might come to church during this special season, or maybe even hand-delivered. So we would like you to pray carefully about that and to think about who the people are that you would might like to invite this Christmas season. And there's some extras on the narthex table. So my main question for you this morning is, what does God desire most from his people? Is it coming to church every Sunday, or is it singing just the right songs? Is it prayer or doing all the right things, obeying his commandments? Is it serving him throughout the week? Or is it caring for those who are in need? Is it loving our family and friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ? While all of those might be some very important things in the eyes of God, I would like to suggest that they are not the most important. What God desires most from his people is a thankful heart. That is what God seeks, a thankful heart. In our call to worship this morning from Psalm 50, twice it tells us that what God desires most from his people is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice is something in which we need to put forth some effort. It costs us something. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a sacrifice as the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get something else, or the act of offering to a deity, like God, something precious, or the surrender of something for the sake of something else. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament emphasize that above everything else, what God desires most from his people is a thankful heart. Give thanks in all circumstances, says the Apostle Paul, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving actually only comes as a result of us receiving something. In fact, it only comes from us receiving something from someone. Thanksgiving is the proper expression for Christians because Christianity is all about us receiving something from God. Christianity is about us receiving from God an undeserved gift, one that we could never earn or deserve on our own. For those who do not feel that they have received anything from God, or at least anything good from God, then they have nothing to be thankful for. And thanksgiving is really synonymous with worship. Our level of worship is in direct relation to how big that we think the gift that God has given us really is. This morning I was reading in the Gospel of Luke the story of the Pharisee and the woman who showed up at the house with the alabaster jar and fell at Jesus' feet and anointed his feet with the ointment. This Thursday, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. And unfortunately for many people, we have lost the true meaning of Thanksgiving. Today, we usually celebrate Thanksgiving by participating in some event or activity in the morning. If you are a runner, there's lots of races that you can go to on Thanksgiving morning. Or some people play flag or touch football, or maybe not so flag or touch. Many will attend a parade, or they can just sit and watch television and watch the Macy's parade, or you can start your Christmas shopping early. And then in the afternoon, there are some real football games to watch, time for family and friends, and then a great big meal. And if you're like me, somewhere in the middle of all that, you need to fit your nap in. But my question is, where is God in all of that? Thanksgiving was originally designed to be a holiday to give thanks and praise to God for all the blessings that He's given us. It comes at the end of the fall because at its conception, many of the people were farmers, and God's blessings were usually most evident in the harvest. You see, in a way, we're like the nine in our scripture passage this morning. Only one returned, praising God with a loud voice. Only one returned and fell at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. It says in Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So how do we do that? Well, this morning I would like to suggest that there are three ways in particular that we offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. One is we offer the sacrifice of our person. Two, we offer the sacrifice of our praise. And three, we offer the sacrifice of our possessions. The first is the sacrifice of our person. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Why should I give my entire body to God? Because He's given His entire body for me. In fact, the sacrifice of myself is rather small compared to the sacrifice that God has made for me. In fact, the sacrifice of myself is really the only proper response to the sacrifice that God has made for me. We are to die to ourselves and to offer ourselves to Him. The Christian journey is really a continual journey of dying to ourselves. And just as there are three ways to offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, there are three ways that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. First is we must voluntarily present ourselves. God doesn't force His love and salvation on anyone. And that's actually pretty hard for us to accept, especially such a big gift. And it's also hard for us to accept when it concerns those that we care about and love the most, because they too need to voluntarily accept the gift and present themselves to God. The second is we must sacrifice ourselves completely in every area of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Oswald Chambers, in his devotion, My Utmost for His Highest, had these wonderful thoughts regarding this verse this week. We humans have a tendency to look for wonder in our experience, and we mistake heroic action for real heroes. It's one thing to go through a crisis grandly, and yet quite another to go through every day glorifying God when there is no witness, no limelight, and no one paying even the slightest attention to us. If we are not looking for halos, we at least want someone that will make people say, what a wonderful man he is, or what a great woman she is. If you are properly devoted to the Lord Jesus, you have reached the lofty height where no one would ever notice you personally. All that is noticed is the power of God coming through you all the time. We want to be able to say, oh, I have had a wonderful call from God. But to do even the most humbling task to the glory of God takes the Almighty God working within us. To be utterly unnoticeable requires God's Spirit in us, making us absolutely humanly His. The true test of a saint's life is not successfulness, but faithfulness. We tend to set up success in Christian work as our purpose, but the purpose is to display the glory of God in human life. So when Isaac sang that wonderful special music piece this morning, were you clapping because of him or were you clapping because of God? When you walk out on most Sunday mornings, on the mornings that you did like my message, and you thank me for it, don't thank me for it. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's about God. Living sacrifices sacrifice their lives to God voluntarily, completely for His glory. And third, they do it committedly through a covenant or vows. In Psalm 50, verse 14, right after it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, the psalmist says, and perform your vows to the Most High. That represents both the voluntary part and the commitment part. And then it goes on to say what the main purpose of it all is, for the glory of God. The first sacrifice of thanksgiving is the sacrifice of ourselves for the glory of God. And the second way we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God is through the sacrifice of our praise. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Which is really a restatement of Psalm 34, verse 1. We are to offer praise to God continuously. Praising God doesn't begin when we enter church on Sunday morning. It is supposed to continue when we enter church on Sunday morning. Praising God is supposed to be a continual act that we do every day of our lives. The sacrifice of praise is the greatest gift that we can offer back to God. In Isaiah chapter 43, God refers to his people as those who are called by my name, whom I created for my glory. And a few verses later, he says, I formed them for myself, that they might declare my praise. And then earlier in Isaiah, we are told that everything that we do and offer to God are like filthy rags. Not that they're all bad, but they are all contaminated with a mixture of our own purposes and God's purposes. And often, we really don't even know which is which. And then we get to the New Testament, and Peter tells us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Our sacrifice of praise is the greatest way that we offer thanksgiving to God for all that he's given and done for us. And the third way we offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving to God is the sacrifice of our possessions. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, which reads, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, is followed by verse 16, which reads, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all that you produce. While we might not all be wealthy, we all have wealth. It's just a matter of how much wealth you have. And the Bible tells us that we are to honor God with whatever amount it is. And traditionally, in the Old Testament times, first fruits was most often synonymous with the tithe, 10%. God's people of Old Testament times were expected to give to the temple, to the work of God's people, 10% of whatever it is they produced. And mostly, it was in the form of livestock or grain. 10% was the expectation. Generosity in the eyes of God doesn't really begin until we go over and above the expectation. And then when we get to the New Testament, we are no longer bound by the law, especially sacrifices and offerings, which includes the tithes. But Jesus' expectations of those who were to be his followers was always greater than the law. So it would seem to be no different when it comes to our giving. And if you ever have any question about how serious God is about our giving, then we just need to look at the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament, and the story of Ananias and Sapphira. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Have you not lied to man, but to God?" When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and he breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out, and they buried him. After a very short interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for that much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard those things. So were Ananias and Sapphira struck down by God because they failed to give the portion that God expected from them? Or were they struck down because they lied about it? I think it was a combination of the two. So how much did you bring this morning of your portion for the harvest offering? And you might not want to answer that. This morning is our annual harvest offering, and it is when we give a portion of what God has given back to us for a particular purpose. More often than not, it goes to Mennonite Central Committee, the relief organization which Mennonite Church USA supports, along with lots of other churches. And this year's particular purpose is to help with the hurricane relief in Haiti. This week, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Hopefully, in all the busyness of our lives, including all that we do on Thanksgiving Day and the couple days surrounding it, we may pause and give thanks to God for all that He's given us. And then next Sunday is the start of Advent and the Christmas season. in which we are supposed to pause and reflect on what is the greatest gift he's given us, the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And this year, during the Advent and the Christmas season, we're going to focus on the sacrifice of praise by looking once again at the characters of that original Christmas story and how they responded to the good news of God's greatest gift to the world. You see, everything that we do should be a sacrifice of thanksgiving to our King. That which began some 2,000 years ago. The Christian year is really just a cycle which repeats itself, which begins with Advent and Christmas, and it ends on Thanksgiving. Our response song this morning, before we take up the harvest offering, takes the cycle into account, aptly entitled Offering. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, we bow before the humble Prince of Peace. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you do. O Lord, I bring an offering to you.